Hello and welcome to the Dumb and Dumbest podcast, a music industry podcast where everything is terrible and the house is on fire. I'm Matt Bacon here with my beautiful co-host, Curtis Tewer. And
hello, hello.
Repeat guest, friend of the show, editor-in-chief at Metal Sucks, Ben Yumanov. How are you today, Ben?
Good, thanks for having me back, guys.
So, Ben, we were talking via text a few days ago, and then we scheduled this call for today's topic, which is, how much does where you are from impact your band's ability to make it?
Yes.
Which is something we've talked about a little bit on this podcast, Curtis and I. And so what I wanted to ask, so let's just start off, you know, everyone knows who you are and your background as, you know, in the metal industry, journalist, aficionado, wizard.
My wizard, question, thank you.
I mean, you know, you got the mustache. You got like,
I got the gray hairs now. So, yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, once you upped the mustache game, I was like, oh man, there's a real fucking wizard.
So yeah, well, this is something that yeah. I'm asked a lot, or not even just necessarily asked, but like something that I see in comments or just like in emails or just comes up in conversation if I'm talking to, back when we actually saw people at shows, and you know, I'm talking to people that come up to me and you know and want to talk to me or whatever. Not that happens very often, you know, people say like, oh man, you know, you really got to like check out the scene in Omaha, you know, or wherever they're from. Like, there's so many killer bands, you know, you got to check them out, you know. And maybe they'll follow that up. They'll send me an email with a bunch of bands, and like, they're fine. You know, like rarely are they amazing, you know, but that's sort of besides the point, right? Because every amazing band starts out probably as a bad band and then a mediocre band, and you know, they get better over time. Sure. But you know, like people seem convinced that their band in whatever town they're from, like doesn't stand a chance of making it. So, I decided to write a little editorial about that. And then, as you mentioned, we had a little back and forth about it.
Yeah. And so, well, can you just kind of share your general thesis behind that editorial?
Right. Well, I probably should have reread it before doing this call. I mean, you know, so there were two parts of it sort of, right? Like one was taking the pandemic into account, you know, how does that affect it? And there's no question that the pandemic has changed it, at least for now, because there's no shows, there's no local scenes, there's no place for your band to really get a footing other than the internet. But those scenes and those shows will come back. You know, that will happen. So sort of where I landed, I think, was in saying that it does matter where you're from, to some extent, but it's certainly not the be all end all. You know, just as some recent examples, I'd point to the Black Dahlia Murder, who are from Michigan, Whitechapel from Knoxville, Tennessee, which is, you know, certainly not a place known for its metal. You know, Gate Creeper from Arizona, all sorts of bands from all sorts of places. But there's no question that sort of being in the metal epicenters of New York, LA, London, Germany can help you, because simply because you're seeing all the people in the industry, and you know, if they're seeing you, there's more of a chance that they're going to see you than a band that sounds the same and is as good as your band that lives in Omaha. So just by nature of proximity, you're probably going to have a bit of a leg up.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Just going to say, I think the key point in your article was like, it's also like, not necessarily even being connected to like an industry person, but like, I think you mentioned like even being connected to someone that knows someone is very important as well. If you want to expand on that a bit.
Sure. I mean, just like any connections that you have are going to help you, you know, like if you're connected to, you know, the guitarist who used to play in a band with that was signed to a label, you know, Relapse or Metal Blade or Century or, you know, any metal label, then there's a chance that, you know, if those people are pals, then the person, you know, is going to come to your show and maybe they'll bring their friend with them.
So like, how do you think that the other band, like bands who aren't in a major city, then can kind of get that leg up? Like, other than just, do you think it's just totally then you have to move then? I mean, outside of pandemic times, obviously.
No, I don't think that at all. I think good songs.
Cool.
Period. Good songs, you know, and that's always what I tell people. It really just comes down to that. You know, you can practice and you can be a great player and that'll get you a certain amount of distance, and, you know, you can network and that'll get you a certain amount of distance. But if you don't have good songs, you know, even if you're from New York or LA or wherever industry people are, you're still not really going to have much of a chance, in my opinion. So just write songs, write tons of them, work on them, refine them, make them as great as they possibly can be.
Fair.
And so what I wanted to ask was, like, you know, I feel like the real, you know, you mentioned that the real benefit of you know, we mentioned that the real benefit is that, oh, you could maybe meet whoever from whatever label, like, randomly at the bar one night, you know, which is something I think has happened to both you and I basically every night of our lives in Brooklyn before.
Sure. Well, it just helps, right? Like, if you have a great song in some band from, you know, Alabama or Montana or anywhere has a great song and they're both equally good song, you know, I don't know how we would quantify that, but, you know, just let's say they're both very good songs or good albums even, which one is more likely to get in front of a person who is in some position of power in the industry? It's the one where the industry is, you know, it's just that simple. But you know, that doesn't mean that it can't happen other places too, you know, and I want to be clear about that. There's tons of bands that have made it from all over the place, you know, far reaches of Canada and you know, look at like Sepultura, for example, or, you know, tons of bands. You know, it just helps. That's all.
Well, you could also theoretically, I think as well, kind of make it kind of big in your own area and kind of capture attention as a result of that. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so what is it going to be about your band that's going to capture attention in your area? Like, maybe it's the songs, maybe you've got like some insane performance, like, you know, somebody like Dillinger Escape Plan probably caught on that way, just because their live shows were so legendary. You know, or you're just, you have a certain sound that fits in with what's going on at the time. Like right now, you know, you see all these old school death metal style bands being signed kind of in the wake of like Gate Creeper and Trap Them and Black Breath and, you know, bands like that, that have been doing it for several years. You know, but there's I think that's a way to do it too, for sure. But you've got to have, excuse me, you've got to have something. And, you know, and this is the thing that I tell bands all the time when, you know, if they ask me, they're like, hey man, like, you know, what's your honest opinion of my song or video or album or whatever, you know, and 95% of the time, my response is, well, what makes you different? Like, what makes you different from, like, you guys are pretty good, but what makes you different? Like, to a fan that's going to come and say, you know, like, what is it about this band that sets them apart from other similar bands?
Well, there's something you said once, you know, I forget if it was on a podcast or whatever, but at one point you had said a lot of bands are pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Exactly.
And that's sort of the problem, is that that's cool, but why do I care?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and not just like, not just why do I care? Why does anyone care? Any fan, you know, they can, there are so many, especially now, it's so easy to make a record and get it on the internet, and, you know, make a good sounding record, and so cheap to do it. Like, you know, what is it that makes your band interesting? I mean, I would, you know, we get tons and tons of press releases, Curtis, obviously you know this as well as anyone, yep. And Matt, you too, yep. You know, and I really try and listen to all of them, at least a track, you know, especially the unsigned ones, actually. Like I'm
that's awesome.
Like kind of like a weird thing where, like, if there's like some formal like promo, like press release or like Holics thing of some band I've never heard of, I'm like, yeah, whatever. But if it's just like some band that just writes, you know, a sentence about themselves and a link, I'm more likely to listen to it for some reason. I don't know why. I try and listen to all of those, and 95% of them are mediocre to pretty good. Yeah. And that's a problem, because like, how do you differentiate yourself from the pack if you're trying to make it? And, you know, I mean, I don't think the bands themselves know the answer. I think they've been kind of, they kind of get in their little creative bubble, and they're not clearly able to see what their output is like to the average listener, to an outsider. And I don't think they really know where to take it.
I have a question, Ben. What do you actually think it is that sets bands apart? Because I mean, like you said, you listen to almost everything, and you guys have one of the highest traffic sites in the world for metal. So like, what is it for you that sets bands apart?
Well, like I said, you've got to have something you do that's different than what other bands do in your genre or in your subgenre. Now, it could be something musical. It certainly could be like a style thing, a look. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be just that, like I said at the beginning, like you write great songs, you know, that just are very memorable. Like they have either like a catchy hook or like a catchy riff or, you know, something like that. But, you know, it just needs to be something that stands out, that, you know, something memorable, something that I'm going to go back to later and say like, oh yeah, like I remember these guys because blank.
Fair. Fair. So just to clarify on just one other aspect. So when you're looking at music coming in, then is it more like what actually catches your eye first? Then it's kind of like the band name then to make you look further, or it's the photo, or I'm just trying to get an idea of what you mean.
Right. For like, frankly, I don't even get that far, you know, cause I'm just like, you know, I'm staring at an inbox of like, you know, 150, or if it's a Friday, 250 emails, you know, and I'm just trying to get through it, you know, and I do go one by one, you know, I look at every single one. And so, you know, I'm not really concerned with the photo or like quote or, you know, any of that. Like, I'm just like, okay, where is the link that I click to hear this? You know, and so I have developed my like spidey senses of zeroing in on where that link is, you know, and so I find it and I click it. If it requires like an extra two or three clicks, like I'm done, you know, like screw it, too much effort. Yep. But you know, these days, like most bands are pretty good, you know, they just drop a YouTube link or Bandcamp or SoundCloud. That's ideal because it plays right away or within one click. So, you know, and then if I like it, then I'll go back and I'll look at the photo or the description or the quote or, you know, something like that. But really it's just like, here's a song. Is there something about it that's grabbing me personally? You know, like there's no objective set of things that a band would have to do. It's just, do I like it? You know, and that's just me.
Okay. So we have that going. So then why does it matter if I'm in Omaha or if I'm in Brooklyn?
Well, it matters because I'm not the only person, you know, like if your primary goal is to get a write-up on Metal Sucks, then, you know, that would matter. But, you know, if you're trying to get like a record deal or a booking agent or like build a following, you know, like I don't control all those things. I'm just one person.
Well, you also probably are more inclined to open up the emails from people whose name you recognize band wise, I would imagine, correct?
No, I look at every email that I get. But I'm more inclined to pay a little more attention to those for sure. Like, fair. especially if it's a personal email, like if it's a press release, then probably not, unless I'm familiar with the band already. But like, if you know, if like you're reaching out and you're saying like, hey Ben, you know, I have this band that, you know, really reminds me of this band that I saw you write a lot about on Twitter, for example, you know, like, like, hey, like I, you know, last year I was writing about Unleash the Archers a lot because I friggin' love that record, you know, and like, you know, you, Curtis, you come to me and say like, hey, like, you know, just personal email, just to me, you know, I've got this band, like, here's their new track. I think you'll like this because I saw you writing a lot about Unleash the Archers. Like, that's going to carry weight with me. Because, you know, because it speaks to me, because you've already, you've said something that I connect with.
Yeah. I noticed that a lot with you. Anytime I write to you and I say, mention something that you've written about before, you're almost always 90% of the time you respond back.
Well, you've cracked the code, but, you know, but again, that's just me, you know, and I mean, I think a lot of journalists in particular operate that way, you know, but,
for sure.
But, you know, certainly with the people who make decisions at labels and booking agencies and management and whatnot might operate by a completely different criteria.
Yeah, fair enough. So Now, my next question, just in kind of in regards to this with the location thing. So if you don't think that if you think that the songs are the main thing that the band has to work on, then what's the next step after that? Because then someone has to find out about them, right? So if it's not location, what do you think is the key thing after writing good songs? Because we all know you can write a really good song and still no one will care or find out about you, right?
Right. Well, again, we're talking now in non-pandemic times. I think that's an important distinction to make.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
But I would say the live show, you know, and whether, you know, it doesn't need to have a gimmick like Ghost, for example, or, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, you just need to be a good live band. You need to be tight. You need to look like a band and, you know, be good performers. I think that, and, you know, I think that's really important, you know, and speaking, because as you guys know, I also work on the management side. For anyone listening that doesn't know, I manage Rivers of Nile, Black Crown, Initiate, and Volar. You know, that's what really the main thing that I look for is a great live band. Like, you know, I know there are managers and agents that'll sign bands without seeing them live, but I won't.
Interesting. So, okay. So you got the live show, you've got the songs. So what would be the next thing? I know I'm kind of grilling you here on this, but I'm just trying to get it. So you got live show, and you got, songs. What would be the next step other than that to get the attention?
Well, I think it's, you know, things that you hear a lot of folks in the industry talking about. You've got to play out. You've you know, play in your hometown and surrounding cities near you, that you can do weekend warrior type stuff within an hour or two or three driving. Certainly networking, obviously something Matt talks a lot about. You know, getting making friends with bands, you know, being polite to them and to the venue staff. And whoever the sort of industry players are in your area, even if it's not a big city, every town, city's got, you know, that promoter, that booker, some, you know, manager who thinks he's the shit or, you know, whatever, like, you know, get in good with those people and be polite and courteous, try and help them out and they'll help you out. You know, get out there, play shows, make sure, your online presence is tight. You know, you've got your social network stuff on lockdown. You know, all the things that I think pretty much everyone agrees are good for bands.
Fair enough.
But, so, you know, it's not a magic formula, you know, and like so much of this is dependent on really just, well, there's certainly a luck element of it.
Yeah.
And there's a trend element of it, right? You know, like
which no one talks about,
you know, yeah. Like you've got to be in the right place at the right time from both of those perspectives. Like, you know, you've got to sort of luck into meeting the right people, I suppose, you know, and also you've got to be like, obviously there are some exceptions, but like if you were an old school death metal band trying to make it in 2005, like that just wouldn't worked, you know, like, I mean, maybe, but like most likely not. You know, I don't think Gate Creeper would have caught on then just because it wasn't the trend, you know?
Yeah. So there is an element of luck in all of this.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. There are deserving bands all over the place that don't quote unquote make it, you know, and that's just simply because they didn't meet the right people or they were in the wrong place, you know, the wrong city, which is, you know, which is why I do say that the location does play a factor.
So, now, let's just say, you know, so you are in one of these ideal locations, okay? And it's post-pandemic and we can go back to shows and whatever. How do you take advantage of being in Brooklyn? For instance,
you go to as many shows as you possibly can. You know, just because you're gonna meet people, you know, and you're gonna, you know, like let's say your band shares a rehearsal space with some other band, you know, or you're in the same building with, you know, many other bands that share a rehearsal space. That's like already right there a network of like 20 or 30 people, you know, and somebody's gonna, you know, you're gonna go to shows with these people as a fan. And somebody's gonna introduce you to somebody and you become friends with them, and you know, you kind of just expand your circle outward, and you know, eventually you're gonna meet the people who are quote unquote in charge. You know, and that increases your chances. Like it doesn't guarantee, you know, nothing. It's not like this is a formula that like if you do this you will get signed and be mega huge. Like no, that's not at all, but you know, it increases your chances of getting your music and your band in front of the right people.
I think one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is like how far being polite and friendly with people actually gets you with others versus just, you know, getting in people's faces.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, you know, I think that a lot of musicians would like to think that their music is so good and so powerful and so different, or, you know, whatever it is, that people are just going to stop and take notice and appreciate them for what they are. And look, that does happen sometimes, but you know, you'll get a lot farther and you'll do it a lot quicker if you're just nice to people, because it's, you know, like I, you know, and I've said this just in regards to like any kind of business. Like if I'm looking at you know, doing business with, let's say just like a t-shirt printer, and the prices are the same, the quality of the shirts is the same, the shipping is the same, like everything's the same, but I happen to have met the guy who works at one of those companies and like, you know, at a show and like had a bunch of beers and had like a great time that night, then like, obviously I'm going to email that guy first, you know, because like, I know him and I know that he's cool and we had fun together. So, you know, like, why wouldn't I do that? That's just human nature. And the same applies for bands.
There was something I thought was really applicable. Trevor from Black Dahlia said to me, one of the first times we had lunch together, and he had just done some sort of like, I forget which one it was, but one of those Metal Allegiance superstar lineup type things. and he was like the youngest guy there. And he said, and that was like the one thing he said he took away was how nice every other like all these dudes and like Anthrax and whatever, you know, it was like Anthrax and Machine Head and all those types of guys. He was like, okay, yeah, like clearly this being doing my best to be really nice thing all the time is working out, because that's what these, the fucking old heads who made this thing, that's what so many of them bank on and on some level.
Right. Like there's sort of this, this idea of the rocks, the egotistical rock star who's a dick. And I think that's kind of, that's a very dated idea. And, you know, and there's a few of those people for sure. You know, but I think there's less and less of them just because of the interconnected world that we live in, to where, you know, like the guys who really act that way, kind of have become the butt of jokes, you know, like Glenn Danzig or Glenn Benton, like the Glens, you know, or I don't know, there's probably others, but like, you know, those people who maintain this wall around themselves are, you know, and those guys are doing fine, clearly, but like, you know, I think in today's world, it doesn't really apply as much.
So how much, so how often is it, or not how often, so how do you think a band should be, how do I want to phrase this? How do you think a band should kind of go about networking with people then? Like we're talking about friendliness and stuff, but I mean, you also do kind of got to get in people's faces a little bit. Like kind of what's the balance to get kind of network with an industry person, if you get what I mean?
Right, right. It's hard, you know, especially when you're a nobody basically, you know, and you're just like trying to get whatever it is, coverage, management, label, you know, and like people are like, all right, who the fuck is this guy? You know, but you know, I don't know. It really is hard. Like it has to happen organically, you know, like the example I gave with the rehearsal space earlier, I think applies, because like those are people that are sort of on your level, if that makes sense. Like you can't really skip steps. You have to put in the time and let it happen organically with people that are on the same level as you success-wise. You know, and inevitably if you're doing a good job and making good music you know, just being a cool person, you will rise above some of the people at your level that aren't doing those things as well as you. And then you'll be on a new level and, you know, kind of repeat the process there. And, you know, but I think that that's a really good question, because you can't jumpstart the process. You can't just go in with a checklist of, I say this, do this. And then, you know, boom, like in a year, you know, I'll be hanging with Brian Slagle or, you know, whatever it is.
Well, I think the important thing to realize is like the, you know, a lot of times people like, I've seen it where people are really good friends with someone who's, you know, of a certain level, but there's like that person also sees that like, okay, like I like this person's music, but they just haven't done enough for it to be for it to be worth it for me to like stick my neck out for them.
Yeah, sure. Or the opposite applies too. Like I like this person, but the music is just not really there, you know, like there's a specific person I'm thinking about, not in the New York scene, so you know, I don't know if you guys know this person, I'm not going to say their name, you know, but it's like a nice guy, you know, and somehow has become pals with like everyone in the scene pretty much, but like his band is just one of those, you know, like pretty good, like okay, you know, thrash bands, and you know, like you see every now and then somebody gives them an opening slot on the local show of a national tour, and you know, but then it's just kind of a year, 2-3 years later, it's just the same, and you know, it's just because the band isn't really there. So you know, like you, like networking can't jumpstart the process either. It goes both ways.
Yeah, you see that, and I definitely think you see that happen all the time. Like I feel like especially I'll see like in Europe, I'll see like some person with an all access pass at something and I'll be like, oh, who are they? And they're like, oh, yeah, they're like, and people will just say like, oh yeah, like everyone knows them. They're in a band that nobody likes, but we gave them a pass to this festival. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Just like sort of people in the scene.
Yeah. You know, like they're our friend. And unfortunately they think we're going to book them one day. which like is harsh, but I get it. You know what I mean?
But you know, I would say to like that person, you know, like, listen, keep doing it. Maybe not with this band, but you know, in your next band, link up with like-minded musicians who went through a similar experience as you, and maybe it'll work out for you. You know, like I'll give an example of that. Doc Coyle, who everybody knows very well, after God Forbid, was in a bunch of bands that didn't really land for whatever reason. And, you know, he was already in a position of just kind of knowing everyone from being in the New York scene and just being, you know, a cool guy. You know, but he kept grinding, and eventually he linked up with the people who would eventually become Bad Wolves, and boom, that was the magic formula.
Yeah, I think that's one thing a lot of people don't realize at the same time is that even after you've built up your network and you've landed success, you can always, you know, have that kind of a situation where you have to rebuild, and it's important to not burn any bridges. You know what I mean?
Oh, completely. You know, I mean, there's tons and tons of examples of that. Like another one right now, Chris Adler is doing that post Lamb of God. He's doing the Firstborn thing with Myrone and Lemenzo and Garish, who's an unknown guy from India, but is great, you know? So, but yeah, same thing, you know?
So, okay. So now we got the networking thing. So now next thing I just kind of want to address on that a little bit is how should someone approach a journalist or a manager or whatever label person online without getting too pushy and being friendly? Because we talked about in person, but we haven't really addressed online too much.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm going to answer that question in two parts.
Sure.
So first, I'll just answer it literally and say, you know, just send a very quick, respectful note, just, you know, a few sentences. Here's my band, or, you know, maybe my friend Matt Bacon said I should contact you about management. You know, just quick intro. Here's what my band sounds like. Maybe one or two quick facts about us, link to listen to music, you know, done. Okay, so that's the literal answer. And then maybe one follow-up. If you don't hear from them in a week, follow-up. But the truth is, I just don't think it really happens that way. Okay, or, you know, very, very rarely. It more often happens through the organic process of just being in the scene that we were talking about earlier. You know, and look, certainly there are exceptions. There are some managers who operate out of some of these like smaller towns or cities or rural communities that we're talking about, you know, and just do business that way. But even in those cases, I think that it's somehow connected through some other more organic way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's not just an email out of the blue, or even an intro from a trusted person.
Fair enough. So don't go adding you on Facebook and then adding you all over the place and DMing you.
No, definitely don't do that. I mean, you know, it's interesting though. Like I did have this guy, some guy Facebook messaged me like last week, like, hey, what's up? And like, I looked, he had a couple friends in common with the Rivers of Nile guys and me. So, you know, I was like, okay, maybe he's like trying to like reach them or something. So I responded. And it turned out that wasn't the case at all. He actually wanted to talk to me, and he wanted to like be me to be his like mentor in business, which is like, okay, like I'm not telling this story to stroke my ego, but like it was just so out of the blue, and I never had any request like this before that I was like,
awesome.
All right, well, like, you know, I'll answer a few questions for you, you know, like what questions do you have? And he started, you know, just asking me about like how I got started and stuff. So, you know, I mean, you can get something out of that approach, but like, you know, I'm not about to hire the dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's like best case scenario. So, you know, I just don't think, like, yeah, to answer your question more directly, I wouldn't really waste time doing that.
Fair. So we're almost out of time on this show. Do you have any final things you want to touch on or push before we wrap up?
Great songs.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Great songs. That's it. Great songs and a good live show. Got to be good live.
I think that
really is it. And, you know,
I
you
agree.
Hear, like, I remember as a younger person hearing older industry people saying that and like sort of being like, oh yeah, yeah, like great song, but not like fully getting it. But the more that I've gotten into, well, the more I've been around the industry, certainly. And the more also that I've gotten into other genres, I've learned just extremely how extremely important great songs are to everything. Nothing works without it.
Well said.
Cool.
This has been Dumb and Dumbest. You have been listening.
Are we done yet?